RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We're back. Live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Taking you all the way till 9 o'clock p.m. here on 670 The Score. It is Gabe Ramirez. Got some more guests coming up on the show. Tim Stebbins going to be talking some Cubs baseball before 7:30. Got my guy Sean Little from BetMGM. He's going to be talking some wagers at 8 o'clock. But right now, I love talking Bulls. And I get to do it with my guy. He's joining us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He runs our website. He's our Bulls insider. He does so much more. He's a great dad now. Cody Westland. Cody, what's up, man?
What's up, Gabe? How are you doing lately?
You know, I got to be honest. I smiled. It's just a slight smile. It wouldn't go all the way up. Like, I wouldn't show all my teeth, but a slight smile when the schedule came out for the Bulls today. How about, did you feel the same way, or was it just business as usual for you?
The NBA schedule doesn't hit for me like the NFL schedule, Gabe. I know all these teams. Like, we know who they're playing basically every year. The NBA schedule release really does nothing for me. I'm interested in more the dates of the games as they pertain to holidays, birthdays, family members, events, stuff like that. The NFL feels like a big deal. Oh, a team can start 4-0, you know, that matters. NBA, it like all evens out in the end.
Yeah. And then if you're planning vacations, you know, like during football season, everyone knows we do not travel on Sundays. And then during basketball season, it's like, yeah, when can I get away? When can I take the family? When's a good road trip for me to see? So clearly nothing stood out for you. When this dropped, there's nothing that's like, you're like, oh, wow, yeah, the Bulls get to do this.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple notable takeaways. I mean, the NBA in-season tournament this year, it will be the inaugural in-season tournament, and that'll be played, the four pool play games over the course of November, and then the in-season tournament, the knockout rounds, will be played in early December. Right after that, the Bulls, Gabe, really have a brutal stretch where they play the Bucks, the Nuggets, the Heat twice, the 76ers, the Lakers. So when you look at parts of the schedule, you're like, hey, you know, the Bulls, they need to come out and play solid basketball early in the season because you hit mid-December and the stretch turns brutal, right? Like, I think that's what you're kind of looking at, spots on the schedule sometimes. And then if you want to start even closer to where we are now on the calendar, I mean, the season opener to me, Gabe, is interesting. The Bulls will host the Oklahoma City Thunder at the United Center on October 25th. And, like, that's going to be a really fun basketball team. And beyond the fact that Billy Donovan used to coach the Thunder, to me it's interesting because we've kind of seen this static-type Bulls roster, right? The same big three, the same types of players, and you'll have a young Thunder team coming in. And that's a team that type of team has given the Bulls fits before, really, here in recent years. Young athletic teams that can get up and down the court a little bit and provide matchup problems. So, like, those are some of the things I look at. Like, right off the bat, I feel like, oh, that's an interesting game for the Bulls in their season opener.
Yeah, like, are the Bulls going to be exactly who they were last year, losing out to teams like this? You get to see Chet Holmgren have his first game, which is going to be exciting, and to see just how they gel, right? They didn't Shai Gilgeous-Alexander didn't have an opportunity to play with Chet in a regular season game. So, you know, seeing how they mesh, seeing how the other parts play in, that's going to be good. I always like to go to, like, the last couple of weeks of the season. Because then, obviously, you have that hope that those games are going to be important. And I saw that the Bulls play the Knicks three times in April.
Yeah, old friend Tibbs.
Like, what's up
right
with that?
There, Gabe, that could be the fight for what? The seventh seed, the eighth seed in the East? Like, who's going to have two chances to win in the play-in round? Who's only going to have to win one game in the play-in round? Who needs to win two? Yeah, like you said, I mean, three times in a 10-day stretch to close the regular season. Two of those games for the Bulls at the United Center, the season finale at Madison Square Garden. So that's a weird scheduling quirk. We've seen some of those before. In this case, in this season, the Bulls play the Heat twice, and both times they play them, it's kind of the baseball schedule type thing where they play them twice in Miami back-to-back, and they host the Heat in November, twice in Chicago, two times in three nights with an off day in between. So that, to me, the NBA obviously has wanted to cut down on the travel schedule, so those make sense, but it is very weird that the Bulls play the Knicks three times in the last 10 days of the regular season, and none of those are back-to-back, so you're not exactly cutting down on travel there, too. But that's something that, like, NBA executives and teams have talked about in the past, that the one criticism of bunching some of these games for travel purposes is, like, you could play a team four times in the first half of the season, or maybe you play three of your four games against a team in a two-week stretch. And given how injuries go, given how trades happen, whether it's before or after the trade deadline, like, you could really catch an opponent at a good time or a bad time, and then that can affect playoff seeding when there's tiebreakers involved or even when teams are one or two games separated in the standings. So everything you do in the NBA is a little give and take. You know, you cut travel a little bit, but you're going to have some of your games bunched up a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, and hopefully the Bulls will be in contention for a playoff spot and trying to fight for something when it gets to that point. Talking to Cody Westerlund here on 670 The Score, I'm Gabe Ramirez. I'm looking at the roster. It's sad to look at, but I'm looking at the roster. And the first thing, I was going to open up this segment with, so we're running it back, huh? It's like, oh my God. But there are some new faces. I guess what I want you to do, Cody, is tell, like, the casual Bulls fan out there, like, are these guys going to make any difference at all when you're talking about the Torrey Craigs and the Javon Carters that have been brought onto this team?
I don't think they're going to make a huge difference. If you're looking at the Bulls and you're like, the Bulls went 40 and 42 last year, if you're expecting the Bulls to win 48, 50 games, I'm not predicting that. So insofar as you're assessing these additions, I thought they were fine veteran additions. They made sense. But I don't expect them to give the Bulls a significant bump in the win column. I expect them to bring a little bit more just tenacity, professionalism, competitiveness to the Bulls night to night, maybe have a few less duds, because when you have veteran players who understand and fit roles a little bit better, I think that plays out more often than not. That can help. But it's interesting, right? Because you look at this season and you're like, hey, the Bulls are running it back again. And so much ties to the Bulls' big three of Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and Nikola Vucevic. And those three players, when they've been on the court together, just I mean, they've basically been league average, right? Like, their plus minus is always within, like, 1 point of dead even, of even par, you know? So that's not good enough when they're your three best players and you're trying to compete. So to me, it's like, can Torrey Craig and Javon Carter, in whatever role they do, it's not like so much what they do, but can they help those three, I don't know, relax a little bit, fit in a little bit better, make everything run more smoothly so those three play better together? I'm not expecting Javon Carter to go out there and average 16 points a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, if there's a small sliver of what Javon Carter can bring the Bulls with good defense and organization on the offensive end and just stretching the floor a little bit, there's a small sliver of that that can replicate what Lonzo Ball did a couple of years ago for the Bulls before his career got derailed by injuries, then you're like, oh, there's a little bit of hope there. That's the reason for optimism in the Bulls' mind, I think. So that is not to say Lonzo and Javon Carter are whatsoever at all the same type of basketball player.
Right, but
if you can see the role they fill to just help keep the ball moving a little bit, stretch the floor a little bit, I think that could be a reason for optimism.
Yeah, you have scorers. You need someone that can control an offense and give them the ball. We saw how valuable Pat Bev was last year, just handling that role. Like, I don't need to shoot, but if I can distribute it, the way that Lonzo was good at doing and making sure everybody had their touches, that's something that the Bulls will welcome. Should the Bulls bring back Javonte Green? The reason I bring it up is because I look at some of the younger guys on this team. And I think to myself, man, is somebody like Javonte Green impeding their growth, their opportunity to get a couple more minutes so the Bulls can do what's been eluding them for years, which is develop a player?
I don't think they should bring him back, Gabe. And I say that for a couple of reasons. One, he just wasn't a good enough shooter. And you got to turn the roster over somehow when you're hovering around 500 like the Bulls were last year. You just got to do something different somewhere, give other guys new looks. And Javonte was fine last year, shooting 37% on low volume three-point shooting. But again, those were wide open and it was not high volume. And I think this team just needs to turn over the end of the roster a little bit more. And when you look at it right now, like they signed Torrey Taylor to a non-guaranteed deal. Carlick Jones is on a non-guaranteed deal. Those guys are kind of slotting in at the 14th and 15th roster spots. And you can have 15 standard contracts. The Bulls also have three two-way players. But like, to me, it's like, use that 15th roster spot, turn it over a little bit, be willing to move a two-way player up to a standard deal if they really prove themselves, or flip it and sign someone when they get waived, you know, add someone at the trade deadline, even if it's not someone you expect to be in your rotation. And like, you bring Javonte Green back, like, I think you're just running again back the same team. And sometimes you have to run back the same team because DeMar, Zach are on long-term contracts and Vooch you can't replace if he leaves. But you don't have to do that with the end of the roster.
Yeah.
So I would vote no on the Javonte Green idea.
That's a great point, Cody, because if you think about it, yeah, I mean, you know, you want him in there for his intensity, for his defense. But your team should be playing defense. And the NBA is not predicated on defense right now in the present. So if you can get a guy that can knock down 2 3-pointers for you, though, like in the third quarter, or, you know, when you're making that second team transition and the first going into the second, I mean, that's something that would look different for the Bulls. Last question before I get you out of here. I probably have a couple more, actually. But Vooch, do we expect, or should we be expecting, maybe not 82 games, but like 72 games, but the same kind of output, like a 20-10 guy? Or is there going to be some sort of regression from a Vooch because maybe he got his money or maybe he's just getting older? You know, what do you think about that?
I don't think you're going to see much regression out of Vooch by way of games played. Like, he's a brick. He pretty much plays all the time, all 82 games last year. He's been healthy and reliable. So, they signed him to be their center every single night and just have that stability because that's – look, the Bulls have had several positions over the years that turn over a lot, and one of the things they liked about Vooch was his night-to-night availability. Now, you talk about regression in his performance. Yes, I think that's naturally what happens when you're looking at him. I'm trying to think here. He's, in his early 30s. I can check 32 going on 33 as the season opens up. So he hasn't shot it well enough from three-point range, but he was really good – inside around the hoop by way of percentage last year, shot almost 60%. So I would expect that just by way of the age curve to probably go down a little bit. Like, you're not getting, when you look at him and if you look at DeMar's next contract, you're not getting these guys in the prime of their careers. You're getting them in the very back of their prime and then in the early years of, you know, the final, not just the final nine holes of their career, but kind of the final three or four holes of their career probably there. So to me, the improvement from the Bulls really needs to come from the Zach LaVine, the Patrick Williams types, what these other guys can do to fill roles and just plug in Vooch to be what he has been before. And certainly you hope he shoots the three ball a little bit better, but he's pretty much been last year what his career average was. So if you're looking at the Bulls roster, I expect a lot of the same out of Vooch. I think the Bulls, if there's something else to be confident about, it's I do think they have a solid 10-man rotation, right? Like, they're a little deeper. Injuries will hit, but just what they've done with some of their signings, and if they can be a little bit healthier, I don't like their 10-man rotation for, like, oh, go win an NBA championship, but when you're talking about an 82-game schedule night to night, I think that they got a solid bunch. Like, Ayo Dosunmu was starting too many games for him the past couple of years. He'll be in a bench role now. Like, that just makes more sense for him. You like him a lot more when he's part of your second unit rather than being relied heavily upon in your starting lineup. So I kind of like the depth, and I think you'll see a lot of the same out of the other guys.
Talking to Cody Westerlund here on 670 The Score, Gabe Ramirez. Cody, who's going to be the best three-point shooter for the Bulls?
I would guess Patrick Williams has the best three-point percentage. Right. He's good. I mean, we criticize him a lot. The one thing he has is a great shooting touch, right? Like, when he's open, he shoots it at a high clip. He's a good free throw shooter. That's always a great sign for a lot of players for their outside shot, too. And I think his shots are going to be more open than Zach LaVine's, you know what I mean? And some of these other guys, because they love to put him in the corner, too, a lot, Gabe. That's one of the most, that's the highest percentage three-point shot in the NBA. He shoots a lot of them from there. He's got a nice touch. So I would guess probably Patrick Williams. Do you have a guess on your end?
You know, I want to say Patrick Williams, but I know Zach takes contested and crazy three-pointers, but I still think he's going to be, I'm going to go Javon Carter.
Javon Carter was really good last year, 41-42%,
I
think.
Was it? Oh, I thought it was like 30-some percent.
No, Javon Carter was really good last year for the Bucks from three-point range, which is, I think, better than he'd been in recent years. But that's a great guess, too, okay. I mean, if you're going to take it. Because, like, in the same vein, right? Like, Javon Carter and Patrick Williams should have a lot of open sure. three-pointers if the Bulls run their offense correctly.
That's what the hope is. Cody, I appreciate you jumping on, man, and talk about this exciting day for you. Bulls schedule released. I know you're not going to be able to go to sleep. You're going to be going and trying to, you know, do pregames on every single game while you're watching
your
kid.
I've had a lot of sleepless nights lately, Gabe. I don't know if it's because of my child or the schedule release coming out, glad that's behind us.
Good luck with that 2 a.m. feeding. All right, Cody, have a good one, brother.
You take care, Gabe. We'll
Thank
see you.
You for sure. Cody Westerlund, the best, man. Just a really good dude overall, and I love when we get a chance to hear from him here on The Score, because he is passionate about the Chicago Bulls and his coverage of them. He gives them the utmost respect when he's doing so. But the Bulls, man, you look at this team and it is, you know, Coby White, you're expecting good things. Torrey Craig, you're like, I don't remember you on the Suns last year. I know you lost in the playoffs. I know they got rid of two of their better bench guys and you weren't one of those two. So that's okay. Andre Drummond running it back. Alex Caruso, you know what you're going to get from him. 50 hard games. The other 32 is just going to be injured. Wonder how Zach's going to respond. These are my inner thoughts.
Feels very White Sox.
My inner thoughts right now?
Like all of this you're saying, like you know what you're going to expect. It's the same bunch over and over again.
Trust me, I'm a tortured soul. Clearly, I love pain in consistent form because I follow both of these teams too closely. But Zach, in my mind, I'm like, damn, Zach, you're still young. You know what I'm saying? And you're 28. Zach LaVine is 28. Zach LaVine's been in the league forever. And he's 28. When you're 28, something should click, you know? Like, wow, wait, hold on. I'm better than everybody here. You're not going to beat me. And that's what I want Zach to have, that kind of mindset. Go from 4.5 rebounds a game to 6. 4 assists a game is great for me. I have zero problem with that. 24 points a game to 27. You know, 27, 6, and 4. An average of steal to shut up the haters. You know? Just to shut up the haters. Zach, I love you, bro. Hope you're doing well. All right. We're going to talk some Cubs baseball after this. What a game. I was putting my daughter to bed yesterday, watching the phone. I got the phone in one hand, got the pillow blocking it so that the light doesn't bother her while she's trying to fall asleep, rubbing her back. 3-1, Gregory Santos is pitching, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I can't believe the Sox are about to sweep the Cubs. This is crazy. One batter gets on. Another batter gets on. And I had that moment where I looked at my phone and I saw Christopher Morel and I was like, damn. If there was one guy to hit a home run, like that would swing with all his might and wouldn't care, it's Christopher Morel. And I was like, nah, but that's not going to happen. That's too crazy. And then the pillow went from blocking my phone to covering my mouth. Because I was saying some curse words. And the worst part about being a Sox fan is not that they suck. It's that in situations like this, where you win a game and you feel good against the Cubs and your city and friends and family, and then when you lose the game and you feel like you're on your way to a sweep and you've been talking trash the whole time, and then your inbox starts going crazy.
I had to take a lot of things back last night.
Dude. It's like
I had to wear it for a while.
Yeah. The greatest play ever. I'm like, what? I'm all hating. The greatest play ever. He hit a home run, bro. Bottom of the ninth. It happens. And everybody's like, yeah, if that were you, bro, you'd be going crazy right now. First of all, I don't sound like that. Second of all, anyway. All right, Tim Stebbins from MLB.com hangs out with us, and we'll ask him if he thinks the Christopher Morel home run was the greatest moment in the Crosstown series. Tim Stebbins joins the show next. I'm Gabe Ramirez. And that'll be happening right here on 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bellinger leads at second, Swanson away from first. And the 1-2, swinging a drive toward right center. Back goes Robert, back near the stands. That ball is gone! A game-winning home run for Chris Morrell. Can you believe it? Listen to this crowd.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
We got to get Miguel Esparza's call. Of that. Let's get that one. We'll play that. Talk some more Cubs as the day goes on. It is Gabe Ramirez. It is 670 The Score. And that was like almost like a it wasn't a double doink because I was at that game. And that was harsh. Christopher Morrell was more like, yeah, that's about right. Sox give up 3-run homer in the ninth. Yeah. 2023. That's how I feel in my heart. So it didn't shock me. But we do get an opportunity to talk some Cubs baseball for the next few minutes here on The Score with our next guest who is joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He is a reporter for MLB.com and our good friend here on 670. It is Tim Stebbins. Tim, what's up, man? How are you?
Good, Gabe. Thanks for having me on. Good to talk to you again. Did anything happen this week in Chicago baseball?
Wow, you're like my brother, bro. Like we gonna start on the wrong foot here, Timmy. You know what? I will say this, okay? And it's one thing that I've been saying consistently since last year, Tim, and it is that I was impressed with Rossi did with what Rossi did last year at the end of the season with the talent that he had. And I know that, you know, he finally was given some pieces, and he had to navigate through that as a young manager still, and figuring out what is the best lineup he can put out there, especially when there's been moving pieces like Mervis, Jared Young, you know, the carousel that is first base, trying to find somewhere for Morrell to be. And then finally, seems like in the last week or two, he's had a better grasp of what that lineup should look like. So having Morrell in that spot just seemed like, of course, this is what happens in that moment. Talk to me about what you were thinking in the ninth inning. Did you think, oh, man, Sox are about to win two straight. What am I going to, you know, are the Cubs going to make the playoffs, or did you have high hopes in what could happen in that ninth inning?
Yeah, well, you know, there's 40,000 people there, and to get to, I was covering the White Sox yesterday for MLB.com, and to get to that clubhouse, you kind of have to navigate a lot of traffic with all the different people there. So with the way the score is, you know, I'm not leaving the press box, but I'm ready to jump up and run. But once they get two on, my thought was, especially when you saw the swings Morrell took, is he might hit one to the moon. I mean, that's literally, I'm not even paraphrasing, like, that was my thought. And, you know, he didn't hit one with a high launch angle or anything. He hit a low line drive, but he absolutely crushed it. But I thought for sure that was a possibility there. That guy has so much power, and you knew in that spot he's going to give it his best go and swing hard. You know, maybe that doesn't mean swinging for the fences, but you know that power's in there. And Gregory Santos, if he's going to be throwing 100 mile an hour sinkers, you don't even have to swing too hard. He's bringing the velocity anyhow. So it definitely seemed like in that spot, like if anyone in this moment, if you could pick anyone on that roster that, yeah, you could see them crushing one like that, Christopher Morrell, and lo and behold, there you go.
Yeah, great spot for him to be in. Even DHing, just so that way you can get that bat in there. But even the pitching was good, Tim, for the Cubs and for the White Sox. I mean, we obviously, you know, I have zero problem talking about them either. But Javier Assad, second start, you know, after the demotion of Drew Smyly, and then how ironic that he gets the win anyway at the very end. But what can you say about the pitching performances of both guys, Mike Clevinger and Javier Assad?
Yeah, I'll start with Clevinger. I mean, I think that was his best start of the season for the White Sox. At least it was his longest, seven innings. But it goes beyond that. I mean, you could tell early on that the juices were flowing. And after the game, he pointed out it was his first time pitching at Wrigley since the 2016 World Series when he was with Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's something with Mike Clevenger in Wrigley Field, big-time atmospheres, but he faced Morrell in the first inning. I think the first two batters Clevenger faced, it was a walk and a hit-by-pitch, and he got out of it without a run, and he struck out Morrell with like a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, and that's a few ticks higher than what he usually averages. So you could kind of tell from the get-go he had something that day, and then all seven innings. I mean, I know like if you're a Cubs fan, you're probably thinking – from why are we not hitting, like, you know, you're looking at it more as like we're not performing. But I think you got on that day, you got to give a lot of credit to the other team and the other starter, because Mike Clevenger was really, really good last night. Javier Assad, man, I mean, that guy, like we're talking about with the Smiley rotation situation, and the Cubs have had really, I don't think all year they've had a point where, you know, all their whole rotation's been at least healthy, if not, you know, all like kind of clicking at once. And maybe that's kind of to be expected, I guess, in baseball. You're never going to be everyone moving in the same direction at once, I guess. But Assad has been so big, I think, for them over this month, especially. I mean, he faced Atlanta and he wasn't too efficient. He didn't go four innings and he threw over 80 pitches. But next start out last weekend with Toronto, that's a good team. He goes seven innings, shuts them down, one run. And then yesterday with the White Sox, I mean, three runs, two earned, and really the only mistake was the home run of Gavin Sheets. It was like a cutter over the middle of the plate. That guy has been huge for them, and as we kind of talk about with the Smiley situation and really the Stroman news yesterday, like having that depth, and that's huge for this team, and it's not depth right now because they're going to need that from him really next few weeks and the rest of the way going forward.
Yeah, it looks like it when you're looking at the rotation of the Chicago Cubs. I mean, they've had opportunities to bring in guys like Wisniewski, and you know, you've seen even Michael Fulmer threw his name out there to say, hey man, I wouldn't mind having a start if need be. But they do have depth, whether it's young arms or veteran guys that can take some innings, eat some innings up. But the Cubs have that in spades. When you look at this Cubs team, and you know, it's hard to point to just one player because they do perform well as a unit, but you know, when you look at what is the gas in the tank of the Chicago Cubs that is filling them up, you know, on a weekly basis to propel them to victories like this, who is that for you when you look at this team on a macro level?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, if you kind of thought about it, opening day for a large portion of the season, they're starting pitching and their defense carried the day. But maybe I'll just kind of defer to what Jed Hoyer said yesterday. He talked about Cody Bellinger being a center, like the centerpiece for the Cubs in this run they've had the last 2 months or so. And I think I would agree with that. I think he had such a different dimension to this team that maybe he didn't have the last couple of years. And you go back and especially from a left-handed hitter, I mean, he's easily, I think, the Cubs' best left-handed hitter since, you know, probably Anthony Rizzo 4 years ago. And he was carrying them, I think. Like, coming out of the break, I think out of the break they didn't get off to the best start post-All-Star, but obviously they've really kicked it into high gear then. And there was one guy always, I think, each game in the center of it all in that lineup, and it was Cody Bellinger. And I just think when you have an MVP-level performer like that, that adds a whole new dynamic to your team, and that's just the offense. I mean, you talk about him and what he does for them, their lineup defensively, because center field, we know he's so good out there, but you have him as a first base option too, and that was an area for several months this season offensively that the production wasn't there. And having him and the ability to slide him over there, it allows you to get guys in like Mike Tauchman, Jamer Candelario now on this team. Like, there's just more lineup possibilities, I think, especially with the Candelario trade. But I think Cody Bellinger is a big part of that with his versatility. And then you obviously want to give credit to someone like Mike Tauchman, who has been a huge contributor for them.
Mike Tauchman has been, when I look at this team and whether I'm doing pre and post for them or just covering them here on the Score, he is a guy. He is the surprise for me. He is the guy where, first of all, he wasn't even, you know, in consideration in the very beginning of the season. Then all of a sudden he's finding his way into lineups, hitting consistently, then gets thrown into the one hole and knocks that assignment out of the park. And to me, that is huge. I think it's him, and I think it's Dansby Swanson, not as MVPs, but just who solidify the lineup and allow everyone else to fall in line. It is a Dansby Swanson, you know, as a bookend to that 2-3-4, you know, Horner, Hap, Bellinger. You know, I think Dansby's great on the other side of that, where you don't have that pressure to be placed on a Jamer Candelario, on a Seiya Suzuki. And then Tauchman, you get to put up front so that that way, you know, it doesn't have to be Horner, it doesn't have to be Morel. Those guys can have be in lower pressure situations at the bottom of the lineup or have the ability to turn it over. And so to me, those guys have been very, very important to them and to where they've now find themselves, which is 2.5 games out of first place. And the Milwaukee Brewers, after sweeping the White Sox, they've already lost their first two to the Dodgers. Third one happening tonight in about an hour. But it doesn't get any easier for the Brewers. They go to Texas for three, Minnesota, San Diego, and then they finish the month out against the Chicago Cubs. Do you think that the Cubs will be sitting in first place by the end of the month?
Man, I mean, if they're not in first place, I would at least think they're going to be right up there. I mean, they're already right there. It's 2.5 out, but they have a couple games in hand on the Brewers, and the Brewers are playing today, so they're going to have to make those up to even the game totals. But, I mean, I think they should, and that's really no disrespect to the Brewers. The Brewers are a good team, man. That's a well-managed team. That's a very sound team. So even with the Brewers' schedule, like you're saying, like entering this week, those four teams they have, the Dodgers, Rangers, Twins, Padres.
Rough.
They had a 550 winning percentage combined, those four, entering the week. And then, like we're saying with the Cubs, they're four teams in that same stretch, the White Sox, Royals, Tigers, Pirates.
Yeah.
It's like a 400 winning percentage. Right. So, like, I mean, it's equal, right? Like, the Cubs should take advantage of this part of their schedule, and that's why Christopher Morel's heroics yesterday were so big, because losing two games to the White Sox, that would have been pretty tough, I think, and especially when the Brewers they lost both games to the Dodgers. So
yeah.
The Cubs need to take advantage of this stretch, and you respect the Brewers. But even if the Brewers play around 500 ball in that stretch with those challenging teams, like in theory, the Cubs, you would think they could go better than 500. And in that sense, when Milwaukee comes to town at the end of the month, if the Cubs aren't, you know, whatever, a half game up, a game up in first, like you would hope based on the schedules that they're at least right there.
Yeah, that would be the thinking. Get to about a half a game or a game, and then have your three games set and try to really just turn the corner right there. Tim, I appreciate you hanging out with us and talking some White Sox and Cubs baseball. Too bad nothing crazy happened yesterday and we couldn't talk about that.
Yeah, too bad.
have a good one, Tim. Make sure you guys follow him, Tim_Stebbins, STEBBINS on Twitter, so that way you can get all the updates on what he has going on. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's 670 The Score. As when I started this thing at 6 o'clock, I was talking to Mark Grody. He was out at practice, and a ton of people are reporting now that Eberflus has said that Justin Fields will not play on Saturday, along with a couple of other starters, which makes sense to me. He let him come out for a second series last week, and you probably only wanted him to play one, but he got his time in. You feel comfortable with where he's at. You don't need to see the process play out. I will be on 670 The Score following the Bears game. Are you producing me that day?
I am, so I'll be with you for that too.
Hey, all right, Leo. So you and I with the night shift till 11 p.m. rolling. But we're going to be able to talk some Bears football. It's going to suck without Justin Fields to talk about a game without Justin Fields, but I'm going to do it anyway. You want to know why? Because that's how much we love this damn team. We're obsessed with this team. We are going to be locked in. You want to talk about some in-depth analysis? I'm going to be going, like, I'm probably going to break down a drive in the fourth quarter. I'm going to go deep. So get ready for those cuts, Leo, so we can do that. All right. There is a member of the White Sox who is going to be playing more games than he anticipated. We'll talk about his situation after this. It's Gabe Ramirez, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Hey, Cubs fans, it's Dansby Swanson.
Back toward the wall, that ball's got a chance!
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Going to be talking some gambling at the top of the hour with my guy Sean Little. We got to talk about our Twitter handles. Mine's Chicago_Gabe. His is Chicago Flow. Like, Papa, you don't even live here anymore. I just buy a house in Oak Park. And people have been telling me that I need to change my name to Oak Park Gabe. But I said, out of my dead body. So TA had his suspension reduced from 6 games to 5 games. And before we talk about that, I want to remind you, through the weekend, the BMW Championship is being hosted at Olympia Fields and Country Club Hills. Olympia Fields Country Club. Jeez. Clearly, I don't watch golf, but I like to gamble on it. So, matter of fact, I'm going to text Sean Little to tell me who I should be betting on that. We'll talk about that at the top of the eight. But, of course, Tim Anderson had his suspension reduced from 6 games to 5 games. He came out with a statement. Thanks for putting this on here, Leo Stoddard. Tim Anderson said, "I want to apologize to the entire White Sox organization, my teammates, manager, and coaches, and to the fans for my part in the altercation which took place in Cleveland." Somebody got to proofread that. Too many ands. "This has been an incredibly disappointing season for me personally and for our team. I will not get into the things that were said to me by Cleveland players both Friday night and Saturday, but those comments do not excuse my language or conduct. And I take full responsibility for my emotions getting the better of me." Again, getting the best of me. "The Cleveland players are free to say whatever they want." Damn, you double back on that? "But I would just say that no one has more respect for the game of baseball than me. I look forward to returning after serving my suspension and finishing the season playing the best baseball I can to help my team." Now, there's a lot there. I've done a lot on this station as the lone Latino in regards to translating things that have been said by La Pantera, Luis Robert Jr., things that have been said by Oscar Colas. I wish I would have been asked to interpret what was said by Jose Ramirez. Because I think it's extremely unfair to quote the translator. Does that make sense? Like, Jose Ramirez talks for 2 minutes. The translator gives you a summation of what was said. Not a word-for-word breakdown, but a summation. 70% accurate.
And could I be wrong, but also, like, with the translator, you don't get the tone of how he says it.
In certain moments, I will say this. The translator for the Cleveland Guardians that game, best translator I've ever seen.
Okay.
But, like, ever. He had mastery of the English language and the Spanish language. Mastery. And he did a great job. The problem was, again, Jose Ramirez was talking for 3 minutes. Like, Leo, even in English, it would be hard for me to, if I were to talk for 3 minutes, for you to then try to repeat exactly what I said in English.
Right.
In English. Let alone have to translate it and try to remember and say it. And so, I know what Tim Anderson is alluding to here when he says, "The Cleveland players are free to say whatever they want, but I'll just say no one has more respect for the game of baseball than me." So clearly he's talking about what Jose Ramirez was mentioning, or at least what the translation said. And again, best translator I've ever seen. But it doesn't take away from the fact that there were missing pieces that, again, tone that you alluded to, you don't get. Or phrases that when said in Spanish and then translated in English don't hit the same, right? He's not a very respectful player. He disrespects the game a lot. But like, there was context around that from Jose Ramirez. But that's the quote that you hear. And Tim, he ain't no speak Spanish. So he's like, all right, what did the translator say? in that 5 minute? What did he say in that 5 minute speech of his? I wish Tim Anderson would have taken the humble, self-deprecating approach. Got my ass whooped yesterday, guys. I can't believe I got knocked out on the field. I mean, like, I wish there would have been some jokes there. You got to own that, bro. You can't. Because you know what Major League Baseball is doing right now? Everybody's just sweeping it under the rug as if somebody didn't just get knocked out on the field, right? Like, everybody's like, don't talk about that. That's embarrassing. But you know, so the first second that Tim Anderson tries to get crazy with anyone, you know how it goes when you're your fellas. Bro, I am not Jose Ramirez. Do not play with me. I will knock you out. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone gets to use that from here on out. And so I wish he would have just owned it a little bit, had a little Saturday Night Live approach to the situation. I want to apologize. Like, he could have started, I want to apologize to the entire White Sox organization for embarrassing myself, for thinking I could square up. Shout out Michael Kopech for helping the punch land properly on my jaw. Like, things like that. You know what I'm saying? But this is in alignment with who Tim Anderson is, and who he's been, and who he will be. Someone that, I mean, he takes responsibility. I'm having a terrible season. I made a mistake. It doesn't excuse my language or my conduct. I look forward, the best thing you could say, I look forward to returning after serving my suspension and finishing the season playing the best baseball I can to help my team. Help your team what? We're out. Over with. Bye-bye. Yeah, you could have helped him out yesterday. What did he do in that game? Let me look at this box score. Tim Anderson, before we go to break. TA, 0 for 3. Andrew Benintendi, who should be the leadoff guy for the Chicago White Sox, 2 for 3. With a walk. Andrew Benintendi should be in the one hole. T.A., I love you. I want to make this very clear. I wish I could be friends with Tim Anderson. You want to know what wouldn't have happened if I was in the dugout with Tim Anderson getting knocked out and everybody just leaving Jose Ramirez scot-free? I'm just trying to tell you the kind of love that I have for Tim Anderson. I would have ran out there. Be like, don't you hit my Timmy. But doesn't take away from the fact that he should not be in the leadoff spot. Andrew Benintendi should be there. T.A. at 2, I mean, I would do something drastic. I'd move him all the way down. Put Yo-Yo at number 2. Benintendi, Yamakata, Luis Robert Jr., Eloy Jimenez, Andrew Vaughn. Then throw a T.A. in there to get on base for the back-end guys like Gavin Sheets, Yasmani, and Oscar Colas. What a season for the Chicago White Sox. Damn. I mean, super disappointing. 5-game suspension after getting knocked out. Like, that right there is the White Sox season. You get suspended more than the guy who punched you. Oh my God. Anyway, you know, make me feel better talking about some gambling. And that's what we're going to do next. Sean Little from BetMGM is going to be hanging out with us. Talk a little bit about what the end of the season looks like for these two teams, but more importantly, the Bears. Where does he sit with that over-under 7.5? Where does he sit with the 2850 passing yards for Justin Fields? We'll get an expert's opinion after the break. It's Gabe Ramirez at 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hey Cubs fans, it's Dansby Swanson.
Back toward the wall. That ball's got a chance.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Going to be talking some gambling at the top of the hour with my guy Sean Little. We got to talk about our Twitter handles. Mine's Chicago_Gabe. His is Chicago Flow. Like, Papa, you don't even live here anymore. I just buy a house in Oak Park. And people have been telling me that I need to change my name to Oak Park Gabe. But I said, out of my dead body. So TA had his suspension reduced from 6 games to 5 games. And before we talk about that, I want to remind you, through the weekend, the BMW Championship is being hosted at Olympia Fields and Country Club Hills. Olympia Fields Country Club. Jeez. Clearly, I don't watch golf, but I like to gamble on it. So, matter of fact, I'm going to text Sean Little to tell me who I should be betting on that. We'll talk about that at the top of the 8. But, of course, Tim Anderson had his suspension reduced from 6 games to 5 games. He came out with a statement. Thanks for putting this on here, Leo Stoddard. Tim Anderson said, "I want to apologize to the entire White Sox organization, my teammates, manager, and coaches, and to the fans for my part in the altercation which took place in Cleveland." Somebody got to proofread that. Too many ands. "This has been an incredibly disappointing season for me personally and for our team. I will not get into the things that were said to me by Cleveland players both Friday night and Saturday, but those comments do not excuse my language or conduct, and I take full responsibility for my emotions getting the better of me." Again, getting the best of me. "The Cleveland players are free to say whatever they want." Damn, you double back on that? "But I would just say that no one has more respect for the game of baseball than me. I look forward to returning after serving my suspension. and finishing the season playing the best baseball I can to help my team. Now, there's a lot there. I've done a lot on the station as the lone Latino in regards to translating things that have been said by La Pantera, Luis Robert Jr., things that have been said by Oscar Colas. I wish I would have been asked to interpret what was said by Jose Ramirez. Because I think it's extremely unfair to quote the translator. Does that make sense? Like, Jose Ramirez talks for 2 minutes. The translator gives you a summation of what was said. Not a word-for-word breakdown, but a summation. 70% accurate.
And could I be wrong, but also, like, with the translator, you don't get the tone of how he says it.
In certain moments, I will say this. The translator for the Cleveland Guardians that game, best translator I've ever seen.
Okay.
But, like, ever. He had mastery of the English language and the Spanish language. Mastery. And he did a great job. The problem was, again, Jose Ramirez was talking for 3 minutes. Like, Leo, even in English, it would be hard for me to, if I were to talk for 3 minutes, for you to then try to repeat exactly what I said in English.
Right.
In English. Let alone have to translate it and try to remember and say it. And so, I know what Tim Anderson is alluding to here when he says, the Cleveland players are free to say whatever they want, but I'll just say no one has more respect for the game of baseball than me. So clearly he's talking about what Jose Ramirez was mentioning, or at least what the translation said. And again, best translator I've ever seen. But it doesn't take away from the fact that there were missing pieces that, again, tone that you alluded to, you don't get. Or phrases that when said in Spanish and then translated in English don't hit the same, right? He's not a very respectful player. He disrespects the game a lot. But like, there was context around that from Jose Ramirez. But that's the quote that you hear. And Tim, he ain't know speak Spanish. So he's like, all right, what did the translator say in that 5 minute? What did he say in that 5 minute speech of his? I wish Tim Anderson would have taken the humble, self-deprecating approach. Got my ass whooped yesterday, guys. I can't believe I got knocked out on the field. I mean, like, I wish there would have been some jokes there. You got to own that, bro. You can't. Because you know what Major League Baseball is doing right now? Everybody's just sweeping it under the rug as if somebody didn't just get knocked out on the field. Right? Like, everybody's like, don't talk about that. That's embarrassing. But you know, so the first second that Tim Anderson tries to get crazy with anyone, you know how it goes when you're your fellas. Bro, I am not Jose Ramirez. Do not play with me. I will knock you out. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone gets to use that from here on out. And so I wish he would have just owned it a little bit. Had a little Saturday Night Live approach to the situation. I want to apologize. Like, he could have started. I want to apologize to the entire White Sox organization for embarrassing myself, for thinking I could square up. Shout out Michael Kopech for helping the punch land properly on my jaw. Like, things like that. You know what I'm saying? But this is in alignment with who Tim Anderson is, and who he's been, and who he will be. Someone that, I mean, he takes responsibility. I'm having a terrible season. I made a mistake. It doesn't excuse my language or my conduct. I look forward, the best thing you could say, I look forward to returning after serving my suspension and finishing the season playing the best baseball I can to help my team. Help your team what? We're out. Over with. Bye-bye. Yeah, you could have helped them out yesterday. What did he do in that game? Let me look at this box score. Tim Anderson, before we go to break. TA, 0-for-3. Andrew Benintendi, who should be the leadoff guy for the Chicago White Sox, 2-for-3 with a walk. Andrew Benintendi should be in the one hole. T.A., I love you. I want to make this very clear. I wish I could be friends with Tim Anderson. You want to know what wouldn't have happened if I was in the dugout with Tim Anderson getting knocked out and everybody just leaving Jose Ramirez scot-free? I'm just trying to tell you the kind of love that I have for Tim Anderson. I would have ran out there. Be like, don't you hit my Timmy. But doesn't take away from the fact that he should not be in the leadoff spot. Andrew Benintendi should be there. T.A. at 2. I mean, I would do something drastic. I'd move him all the way down. Put Yo-Yo at number 2. Benintendi, Yamakata, Luis Robert Jr., Eloy Jimenez, Andrew Vaughn. Then throw a T.A. in there to get on base for the back end guys like Gavin Sheets, Yasmani, and Oscar Colas. What a season for the Chicago White Sox. Damn. I mean, super disappointing. 5-game suspension after getting knocked out. Like that right there is the White Sox season. You get suspended more than the guy who punched you. Oh my God. Anyway, you know, make me feel better talking about some gambling. And that's what we're going to do next. Sean Little from BetMGM is going to be hanging out with us. Talk a little bit about what the end of the season looks like for these two teams, but more importantly, the Bears. Where does he sit with that over-under 7.5? Where does he sit with the 2850 passing yards for Justin Fields? We'll get an expert's opinion after the break. It's Gabe Ramirez at 670 The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.